Romans chapter 16, and this is the final chapter of our study in the book of Romans. We have studied all the way through the book of Romans, about 40 sermons to this point. And I want to read there in Romans 16, verse 1, and our study has been on God's pathway to blessing and victory. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, everybody say many, and of myself also, the Apostle Paul. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Now he's speaking to the church at Rome, the people there. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. How many people can say that about another person? That's incredible. That is a powerful testimony. Fortunately, none of us have been in a situation where somebody had to risk their neck, right? But Paul put it very plainly. But he says that, to whom not only I give thanks to them, Priscilla and Aquila, but also all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks for Priscilla and Aquila. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Powerful. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. There's a lot in that sentence about those two precious ones. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Greet, as he goes on to say, Stancus, my beloved. Greet Apelleus, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodion, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Philegion, Hermas, Petrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the mention of these incredible individuals who at the beginning of this great advancement of the gospel stood with key leaders like the Apostle Paul to advance the gospel and to build churches and to build the glorious church of the Lord Jesus. Now use us tonight, Lord, use me. And give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive, and learn from these precious ones how to be a part of a body of Christ and how to work together, serve you, and to glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, this chapter is very interesting to me because Paul mentions in the first half of this chapter people who unify the body of Christ, people who love the body of Christ, who serve the body of Christ in good times and bad, who serve the Lord in good times and bad, who work with pastors, in this case, the Apostle Paul. And I'm sure there were wonderful pastors, as we see in this list. And so tonight, I want to share this first part in chapter 15. The second part is about those who divide us. So we want to talk about the positive side, those who unite us, and those who serve well. And then next week, we'll finish it all up, so to speak, with watching out for those who divide and hinder the things in the work of God. So I want to speak on the title tonight, those who labor among us. Those who labor among us. Everybody say labor. Labor is sometimes strenuous. Sometimes it's a labor of love. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. But whatever and whoever labors for the Lord will be blessed. They will be blessed. And so what is the Apostle Paul doing in this litany of people in this closing chapter? What is the Apostle Paul saying? What is he communicating? What is the Holy Spirit wanting us to gain from the list of people who were a part of the work of God and who served well and even risked their life? I believe he's calling, that is the Apostle Paul, the church body in Rome to acknowledge and to commend and honor and recognize those choice servants among them who were doing what? What were they doing? Well, just to sum it up, they were humbly serving the Lord among the believers. They had no agenda. They weren't in it for themselves. They were in it to glorify Jesus. They were in it to serve the body of Christ, build up people, and I'll get into that a little bit more. Number two, they were tirelessly, as we see, embracing God's people to unify them. Everybody say unify, not to divide, not to gossip. You don't have to say that, but to unify. These are choice servants of the Most High God. Now, any of us can be choice servants of the Most High God, let me tell you. And it just takes a daily assessing of your life, how you're talking, how you're living, what you're saying, how you're loving, and how you're serving among the brethren. So they were humbly serving. They were embracing God's people to unify them. And number three, they were willingly laboring in the word to disciple the saved. In other words, people need to be taught the authority of God's word, why it is our standard of faith and practice, and why we adhere to it, why it's so important. And people should have those around them who are examples of the blessing that comes by doing the word of God. If my life is in turmoil all the time, who's going to listen to me? No one. Everybody smile at me. But if my mind and my heart and my life are at peace and I'm doing the word of God and laboring to love people and teach people the truth of God, then I will guarantee you that you will see the blessing of God. I will see the blessing of God that way. So, We humbly serve, choice servants do, tirelessly embrace God's people to unify them. We willingly labor in the word to know the word of God, to understand it, but not just know it, live it. Somebody say live it. To live this thing in order to shine for Jesus and to be an inspiration to the body of Christ. And fourthly, faithfully, what was Paul talking about? What was he communicating? And what was he saying in recommending these people? He said that these people are faithfully working to also, not only among the church, but in the community among the lost. And he uses a powerful word. I mean, this is a powerful word that Paul uses to help the church in Rome understand how they are to treat Phoebe in particular and the rest of these precious saints as they serve. And this word is commend. Everybody say commend. Commend means to praise them, not like you do God, but hey, I really appreciate you, you know, appreciate them. Acclaim, it means applaud, if you will. But mainly it means to recognize them and honor them. Not that you bow down or that you think that there's some demigod or nothing. No, no, no. It's simply that these precious ones, in particular, he says, I commend Phoebe to you because it's important to recognize those who labor among us, who work to build the body of Christ, to help, to encourage, to love people. And this is all of our job, by the way. Somebody say amen. This isn't just fivefold ministry that he's talking about here. This is every one of us. If all of us were doing this, woo, the body of Christ builds and builds and grows and grows. And we recognize them. Why? Because we value what Jesus values, and we value what they are doing for Christ, just like you would want someone to value you. I don't need pats on the back, but I do love when people come up to me, Pastor, that really spoke to me. That's all I need to hear. Nothing about me, just about what God said. Somebody say amen. But there's this beautiful harmony among the body of Christ that Paul is calling our attention to. And this is what I love about the body of Christ. And this is what people who are skeptics of the church or criticize the church or say, I don't need the body of Christ. I can do this on my own. They don't understand. And I don't know how to get them to understand. All I can do is just preach it. But when you value what the Lord values, you're going to value other people. You're going to value people who serve, who love Jesus, who are a part of the work of God with you. And so this, I call this God's all-star list of participants and servants in the church at Rome. And the church at Rome, we're teaching out of the book of Romans, they were very solid, were they not? They had some things that they were dealing with. They had some bumps in the roads. They had some awkward moments. They had some losses. They had some gains. But all in all, Paul is saying, listen, these people you need around you, and you need to be around them in order for you to grow and become a choice servant of God and to mature in the things of God. Every church needs servants like this, wouldn't you say? I mean, this is powerful. And so who humbly lead and who graciously serve. And Paul is describing some of these awesome leaders. I mean, he gives some real insight into how they served and what they did. And it gives us an insight into the body of Christ and how it's really supposed to work. This isn't supposed to be me up here sprinkling, you know, people or throwing smoke on people or, you know, having a concert. This is the real body of Christ. I'm not saying anything is wrong necessarily with any of that. I'm just saying this is the nuts and bolts of the body of Christ. What happens on the pulpit really is a small portion of what the body of Christ is and what it is supposed to be doing. So let's look at some of these all-stars, would you, with me? These all-star servants of God. And let's learn some things. Let's look at Phoebe first. Paul says, I commend to you, Phoebe, our sister. I miss those terms in the body of Christ, brother, sister. I say them often, don't I? You won't hear that in a lot of churches today. But I love to say that because Christ has made us kin. Christ has made us family. And when I call people by brother or sister, it's a term of endearment. And so I don't shy away from that. Maybe I'm old school. Is anybody else old school? I'm old school. But I hope to be relevant enough to challenge people, right? Old school is a good thing, I think, in a lot of ways. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church. Everybody say, of the church. A servant of who? I thought you were supposed to be a servant of Jesus. Well, you are. In serving the church, you serve Jesus, right? Hello, hello, yes. I serve the church. And because I serve the Lord, I serve the church. He has sent me to serve the church. Somebody say amen. I am to serve sinners. I am to serve my precious wife, my family. I am a servant. Somebody say amen. But I love it. She is a servant. And she's just not a servant. I'm going to get to this in a moment. I don't want to spill the beans on this in the church of Cenchrea. But he goes on to say that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Perhaps she was getting a tough time for being a really strong worker. And sometimes strong workers can be misinterpreted in their efforts to encourage people or teach people. They can feel a little dogmatic, but if you know them and you know their heart and they've earned your respect, you'll listen. Somebody say amen. So I don't know if that was happening in Phoebe's life, but Paul said, receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, not worthy of, you know, the sinner, not the way sinners would do it, but the saints, and assist her, everybody say assist, in her in whatever business she has need of you. Amen. And what does that mean? That means that she's working to get things done. She's working to connect people. She's working to help people. She's listening. She's going after people. There's so many things. Like I said, serving, embracing, unifying, laboring in the word, working to reach the lost, all of that and more. And so, and it goes on to say, for indeed she has been a helper. Like the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper. And so if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a helper. And also a helper of many and of myself, Paul says. Wow. She was a great help for the Apostle Paul. So let's unpack that a little bit, these highlights of Phoebe. It's just wonderful. Phoebe was a true servant leader in the church of Cenchrea. She stood out. She stood out as a leader. And she was considered by Paul, the apostle. The word servant there means a deacon or a deaconess. And you can read about a deacon in 1 Timothy. You can read about what is required of them, how they are to be able to teach the word, how they are to have their household in order, how they are to be a part of the body of Christ, support the pastors and the leaders of the house, to be prayerful and to live pure and above reproach. Somebody say amen. And so she was considered a deaconess. That's what that word in the Greek literally means. She was a deacon tending to the business of the Lord's church. And what business was that? Helping the less fortunate, no doubt, caring for the hurting, ministering and encouraging others, encouraging fivefold leaders like Paul and others in this list, just encouraging them. What can I do? How can I serve? What would you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? Helping the church unify and grow. That's Phoebe. And so I'm grateful that this church has many Phoebes. Look around it. We have many of you are Phoebes, are like Phoebes. And we have many more, and many who have been here. And so Paul is saying, this is what he's basically saying. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, our servant, one who is worthy to receive honor, and one you should immediately assist in any work the Lord has called her to do. That's how important what she does is. I like that. I like when people do important things for God. And it's not like we wouldn't know that, right? I want to be somebody that does things that are important for Jesus, so much so that Paul the Apostle says, you immediately assist her in any work that she has been called of the Lord to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So she has, he goes, this is what he's saying, she has proven herself. Over many years, she deserves to be honored. Not so much that she's lifted up in pride, but she deserves to be honored for her work's sake and for her heart and for her love to be trusted, because she is trustworthy and she is faithful in many difficult circumstances. And Paul the Apostle put this exclamation point on it, and she has been an amazing help to me. Somebody say amen. It's good to have people like that. And then he gets to Priscilla and Aquila. I love this. He says, right after Phoebe, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So there's several things that we want to unpack here. We first hear about Priscilla and Aquila, where at? In the book of Acts, chapter 18. This is where we find our introduction to Priscilla and Aquila. And so let me read this to you in Acts 18, 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, he, Paul, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. So there was a persecution on the Jewish people in Rome. So Priscilla and Aquila had to flee their home, because they were Jewish people. And so, Paul goes on, because he, Paul, that is, because Paul was of the same trade. This is Luke writing about Paul. Because Paul was of the same trade as Aquila and Priscilla, and he stayed with them. And what was Paul's trade? They were tent makers, and that's what it says. And so, Paul stayed with them and worked with them in their trade, for they, by occupation, were tent makers. Now, how do you know, you all know, all of us know, that you don't meet people by accident. God sets you up. There are divine connections and relationships that you form. This was one of them, and it's powerful. And so they begin to work together, and more than likely, Aquila and Priscilla were converted to Christ through Paul's ministry and then discipled by Paul the Apostle through the following months after their conversion. Now, there's no record of their conversion, but they were just Jewish people. They didn't know Christ. They hadn't heard about Christ, but Paul began to talk to them. No doubt, Paul led them to Christ. And we see some of that. We see some hints of that. The next part of Acts 18, in verse 18, we see Priscilla and Aquila sail with Paul from the church at Cenchrea to Ephesus. And so Paul was there for a long time in Cenchrea. He met Priscilla and Aquila, got them saved, discipled them. The Bible says that he was there for quite a while, and then he felt led to travel to Ephesus and start a church. And guess who went with him? Priscilla and Aquila. I was hoping you were awake out there. This excites me. Come on. I know you're excited. You're just listening. And so when we know that they got converted, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they got excited, they got discipled, how do I know that? Because they were right with Paul the Apostle. They got in the boat, they left everything, and they went to Ephesus. Those two were all in. Hallelujah. How many know you got to have people who are all in for God? And they were. And then we see them again, and this is why their choice, this is why Paul, he lists them, you know, what is it, Hebrews 12, I guess, or 11, the Hall of Faith. This is like the church's Hall of Fame right here, all stars. But we see them again set sail, and then in verse 26 of Acts 18, we see Priscilla and Aquila, listen, they're at Ephesus. And, you know, Paul had left them at Ephesus to help with the new disciples there. So along comes this incredible preacher named Apollos. The Bible says he was born in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, but he was not saved. He had only heard about the baptism of John. So that's all he was preaching. He was preaching the baptism of John. What was the baptism of John? Well, it was a baptism of repentance in lieu of the coming Messiah. So he was close. And boy, you can tell by what Luke said that this man, he was an eloquent preacher and he was powerful in the scriptures. That is the Old Testament. So he was preaching Jesus without really knowing Jesus. And how many understand this can happen today? And so this just intrigues me because we're talking about people that we can trust who have been tested. Now notice what they do with Apollos. So as Apollos is preaching, you can read this, Priscilla and Aquila are like, oh, we got to get with him after the service. Somebody say amen. We got to get with him because we have to explain to him the way of God more perfectly. Now, that can look pushy. That can look like, oh, I'm a know-it-all. And you know, some of us, we shy away from people who are so close because they're so determined and they seem so knowledgeable and so eloquent. Next to Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos was, you know, like a Charles Stanley, perhaps. Just tall, eloquent, strong, you know. And they weren't, you know, powerful speakers. They weren't even speaking. But there's something about people who are called by God to help in the work of discipling others. And so they called him aside. And I love this about Priscilla and Aquila. They heard him preaching. They took him aside, the Bible says, and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. And Apollos became, and you can read it right there, in in the book of Acts, Apollos became a mighty force for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How and why? Because of Priscilla and Aquila. They could be trusted. And they were confident in who they were. Not arrogant, but confident. Somebody say amen. And loving. See, always lead with love. In being a choice servant, lead with love, lead from a heart of love, but also don't be afraid or shy away from speaking the truth in love to instruct others. Paul said, they are my fellow workers in Christ. They are doing the work that I am doing as well. They are my fellow workers. They are discipling. They are caring. They are sharing. They are pulling people in. They are helping with the work of God. They have risked their own neck for my life, and I honor them, and I love them, and I want you to honor and love them too. Somebody say amen. This is how the church works. This is the only way it works. It doesn't work any other way. We can't go on personality. We can't follow personality. We can't follow, it makes me feel good to be here. No, you have to be a servant. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Be a disciple and grow. And all of you are here on Wednesday night. I wish everybody in the world could hear me preach. I'm preaching like I'm preaching to the world. Somebody say amen. Come on. He says, to whom I give thanks for. And he says, all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks for them. Wow. Somebody say, wow. All the churches give thanks for them. See, this church, no question. We have raised up and sent out Priscillas and Aquilas. Over these 20 years, we have done that, and we are going to continue as the Lord allows us. Epaphroditus. I pronounced it good the first time around. I won't try again. Epaphroditus. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia. Listen, this young man got saved. He was the first one saved in the region of Achaia. And the region of Achaia is right around Greece. And this young man, he got saved, and Paul discipled him. He became a servant leader in the house. How many know you are saved to serve, not to be served? Somebody say amen. See, he not only got saved, but he became a great servant leader, and Paul lists him. And let me list one more, Junia. I love this. He says, greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen. They were Jewish. They were Jews. My fellow prisoners, get this. So they were in prison as well for the cause of Christ. He says, greet them. Maybe he was encouraging the church at Rome to visit them. Maybe they were out of prison. I don't know. And they were to greet them as they welcomed them to preach to them. Who are of note among the apostles? Hello, somebody. So this is where you understand that it just wasn't the 12 who were apostles. There were other apostles. And it just simply means that they are sent out to raise up the church, to raise up churches, and to be a leader and to plant those churches. But Paul also says, who also were in Christ before me. What am I saying? I'm just saying this. You are a choice servant of God. You are a choice servant of God. Do never lower your standards. Always improve them. Always grow. Always become more. This is beautiful. Let me conclude with this. Come on up here, Dave. Are you still here, Dave? Is Dave still here? Oh, there he is. See, a disciple of Christ, a choice servant, one that will stand with these precious ones as all stars in the hall of faith in the church. A disciple of Christ seeks to serve the Lord and his church body. This is the body of Christ. How? By humbly walking, living among the brethren, serving, helping, tirelessly embracing God's people always and unifying them and willingly laboring in the word to disciple them and faithfully working out into the community and in the community to bring others to Christ. Be a uniter, amen? Not a divider, I know, you're not. That's why you're here. I try to help dividers, and I've had some over the years, not many. Tried to help them, the Lord knows. But I do not allow division in the body of Christ. It's not going to happen. And sometimes as a pastor, you can be misunderstood. But I think most people understand that the body of Christ means something to all of us in a great and real way. And we do not want to injure it at all. We want to build it up. So stand with me right now. Bring those lights down. Would you search your heart and say, Lord, where else can I serve? How else can I be of help? What are the things that you want me to do? How can I love people better? How can I help teach the Word of God? How can I lovingly correct if I need to? All of these things, you don't have to understand them all or do them all at once, right? Thank the Lord for that. But there will be times, and so step into those times and do what Phoebe did and serve consistently, constantly, like Priscilla and Aquila, and how they just knew what the heart of the Father was, what the heart of the Apostle Paul was, because there was love in their heart and want to build and unify. So they just did that. They saw a man in Apollos and they said, let's get him. Let's not let him get out of this place without explaining to him how close he is to the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Say this with me and just repeat it after me out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing me to be a servant leader among your people. Thank you for giving me your heart for the church, for the community, for the lost. Help me to be led and to lead with love and truth whenever I am helping others. Make me a unifier, not a divider in your house and in my house. Help me to be loving and bold with the lost so that they might be saved. Use me for your glory in your house, in my family, at work, and in the community. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give God praise right now. Have you ever heard anybody preach through that passage of Scripture? Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? You may never hear it again. Pastor Randy did it. Hallelujah. You know I did it. Because I love the Word of God. You can't go anywhere in the Word without getting something powerful. Lift your hands right now. Father, I pray a love for the Word of God in every heart. I mean, Lord, a love for the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God that builds a foundation unshakable in every heart and every life and in every family. May they know truth. May they love the truth. May they love to teach the truth in love. God, I pray that you would deposit in every single one listening and everyone here tonight and everyone that will listen a hunger for the word of God. Raise up more Phoebes. Raise up more Priscillas. Raise up more Aquilas. Raise them up, God. Raise them up in this hour. Oh, how we need examples in the body of Christ at large. So do it, God. Do it, God. Make me a true servant of the Most High God. I know I'm your child. I know I'm a child of the Most High God. But I want to love to be a servant of the Most High God, a servant of the Church of the Living God, a servant for the people of God. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give him one more praise.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath